I'd like to talk a little bit about God's faithfulness tonight. We have a little time yet to do that. And it goes along with our study, you could call it that, the things that we've been looking into in the morning. This morning the Lord changed things a little bit. I had planned to take the next "Let Us" in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, but the Lord directed us differently, and I'm glad He did it. But let's take a moment to look at that second "Let Us," Hebrews chapter 10. Let's begin then again by looking at the 19th verse, 10:19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, which is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." We'll go that far. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised. Keep on believing. Don't get discouraged and give up. Keep trusting God. You know, there are a lot of people that start out well, but they don't finish very well. And that's mentioned again in the book of Hebrews. Those that came out of Egypt, they all had a good start. But something happened along the way in many of their lives. They didn't hold fast the profession of their faith. When they came out of Egypt, they spoke great words of faith, praise to God. They saw what God could do, and they were all inspired. But as time went on and they faced trial and testing, they began to murmur, they began to complain, they got their eyes off the Lord. They began to find fault with Moses. They began to long to go back to Egypt. Things looked better at that point. You know, sometimes the further you get away from something, the better it looks. My wife laughs, because whenever her father talks about what good kids they were, how they never needed a spanking, and they never fought, you know, she said, "Boy, the further we get away from that, the better we look." It wasn't exactly that way, as far as she was concerned, or as far as she remembers. Well, that's just our tendency to do that. And it's better that we see the good than we see the bad. But he says here, "Listen, I know you're going through severe persecution. I know that you're tempted to go back. But listen, you've got to hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. For faithful is He that promised. What God has promised, He's also able to perform. God will fulfill His promises in your life if you'll not waver, if you'll keep trusting Him no matter what comes your way." Sometimes it takes a while for God's promise to be fulfilled in our life. There are things in the Christian life that we have not yet experienced. They're part of the Christian life. Jesus has purchased them for us. And He wants us to believe for Him to come and fulfill all His good purpose in our life. And that takes time. God has to work. God has to work changes. God has to prepare our hearts. There has to be maturity and growth in our lives. And so he says, you just keep holding on. Just keep holding on to what you believe. Don't give up. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get discouraged. Don't settle for less than what God has for you. Even though it takes long, even though it tarries, wait for it. And you know, the way you can do that is to just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. He's faithful. You're not faithful. He's faithful. Don't look at your feelings, as we heard tonight. They go up and they go down. But He remains the same. He which never changes. And so keep your eyes on him. And we're told that throughout the book of Hebrews, consider him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're told in the 11th chapter of Hebrews about people that experienced the faithfulness of God in their life. We have a great cloud of witnesses, a cloud of people that went through the trials, and they experienced firsthand how faithful God is. And as you read through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I understand Brother Eddie looked at that with you, so I won't go through that with you again, but you know, there's one after another, people whose faith was tested, and yet they kept their eyes on the Lord, and though it took years sometimes, and though they had to go through hard times, they just held to the promises of God because they believed with all their hearts that he was faithful, and that what he promised he was able to perform. And it tells us in the book of Hebrews, you have need of patience. You need to learn something from those who got hold of the promises and experienced the promises through faith and patience. And so, the author to the Hebrews is trying to encourage the people. And it's encouragement that we need today, too. God is faithful. God will see you all the way through. What God has promised in his word, he has every intention of fulfilling in your life, no matter what people say, no matter what things look like, no matter what you look like, no matter how long it takes. Don't make any changes. Believe God to be all that he says he is and to do all that he says he will do. We sing the song, the power of God is just the same today. It doesn't matter what the people say. Whatever God has promised, he is able to perform. The power of God is just the same today. And I don't know what was happening back then, but Brother Walfogel, on one of his tapes, sings, the power of God is just the same today. It doesn't matter what the preachers say. And we can sing that today, too. Because there's a lot of preachers that don't believe in the power of God, that it's just the same as we see it in the Word of God. Now, it's one thing to believe the Bible, but you also have to believe in the power of God. They go hand in hand. Jesus told the Sadducees, you greatly err. Because first, you don't know the Scriptures very well. And neither do you know the power of God. Some people, they don't know the power of God. And so they take the Scriptures and they try to make them more natural and try to fit them into their natural understanding. Well, it must have worked out this way. It wasn't really that God split the Red Sea, but it was a shallow area. And during that time of the year, they come up with all these explanations that really take away from what God really did. And then there are other people that are so taken up with the power of God that they become fanatics because they don't keep to the Scriptures. There was a man from a Baptist church that came to the Ridgewood Church, and he sat in on Brother Eddie Walfogel's Sunday school class, the men's class. And he knew it was a Pentecostal church, and he kind of came expecting things to be a bit wild and very emotional and not very Scripture-based. And he said afterwards, I was amazed how those men loved the Word of God and how they dug into the Bible. That wasn't his idea of Pentecost. Pentecost was just power and gifts and emotions. Well, we need the power of God. And the gifts of God are very precious. And I thank God for emotion. But it has to be all based on the Word of God. And in keeping with his Word. And see, here we're told, hold fast. You'll go away to college and your faith will be tested. And people will poke fun at you. You believe the Bible? Oh, you're so intolerant, you Christians. And, the whole atmosphere is really turning against Christianity. We feel that in our nation, becoming more hostile toward Christians. And everything is trying to dampen your faith. They only consult to tear them down from their excellency, we read in Psalm 62. Those excellent beliefs, those excellent goals that God has put into your heart, everything is trying to pull you down from that, to make you compromise. I've seen people that were all for Jesus at one time. There were certain things they wanted nothing to do with. They believed that God had something better for them. And as time went on, I don't know how it happened, very suddenly, but they changed. They're not the same. They don't have that same light in their souls. They're not seeking God the way they used to. Now they don't want to be so strict with themselves and so holy. Somehow the enemy was able to deceive them and somehow cause them to lose a grip on their confidence. But He's faithful. He's the one that can keep us. Brother Edwin used to tell them when he walked, and I think of this because I do it with my children all the time, especially that they're young. I was walking with Kenny today, and he's got such a little hand, and he really can't grip my hand, so I give him my finger. And he holds my finger with his hand as we walk down the steps there where the ground is a bit uneven. But whenever we get to a place that I think is a little bit too dangerous, I don't trust him to hold on to me. I reach around and I grab his hand with my hand. And that's exactly the way it is with the Lord. Our little faith, we sort of hold on to him with our little faith, but he says that's not going to get you very far. I'm faithful. I'm able to keep you. I'm going to hold you. Trust me to hold you. Trust me to keep you. Trust me to fulfill in you, because I'm absolutely dependable. That's one of the translations there in the New Testament. It says, He is faithful. And one of the translations says, He is absolutely dependable. And that's a good way of looking at it. The Bible says that Moses endured by seeing Him who was invisible. That's how he got through all the trials of his life. That's why how he kept pressing on into the presence of God. That's how he got to the place where he cried, "Oh God, I want to see your glory." It's because he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He didn't look at himself, but he looked away to Jesus. And he just kept trusting God to see him through and to fulfill. Let's look at a few verses about the faithfulness of God. Okay. We say one of them already. Came from Lamentations chapter 3, right? And there it speaks about, "Great is thy faithfulness." Let's just look at that a second. Lamentations chapter 3. It's a very familiar verse to us, but the reason it's so familiar is because we get such blessing and encouragement from it, so we read it over and over again. 3:23. Let's look around that verse. 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning I just expect the sun to rise somewhere along the way. And every morning I just expect God to manifest his mercy in my life and his faithfulness. Praise God. Let's look at Numbers 23. This is a good one. It was spoken by Balaam, the prophet. He wasn't all bad. He said some good things. He had the hand of God upon his life. We can't deny that. Numbers 23:19. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, change his mind. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God's not like you or me. He never lies. He says what he means. He means what he says. And he doesn't change his mind lightly. God, if he says it, he'll do it. One year, Sister Mary taught the girls, "All men are liars," down in the village. She said, "Now don't go home and tell everyone all men are liars," but of course they all did, and they delighted in doing that. But of course it wasn't just talking about men, it's talking about mankind. But we lie, we're deceptive, We are not honest as we ought to be. We're not trustworthy. With God, he's absolutely trustworthy. He's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. And when he makes a promise, we can be sure that he has every intention of fulfilling it, and he has the ability to do so. Sometimes we look at God as the way we look at other people. And we've got to ask the Lord to renew our mind and help us to begin to look at him as he really is. He's not like man. He's not like you. One time, Frank, our good friend here, he was telling me, he said, I'm driving my car and somebody honks their horn as though I'm going to cut them off, and I wasn't. He said, but if they were in my position, they probably would have cut me off, and so they expected that I would do the same. They think everybody's like them. And I think that's true. Sometimes people, they treat you, the way they treat you makes you realize, boy, that's not really what I meant, but I guess if you were in my situation, you would have meant that. And we look at God like that sometimes. We say, Lord, you think you're like man, but you're not. You're not. You're absolutely dependable and faithful. If you say it, you'll do it. If you promise it, or you speak it, you'll make it good. Praise God. We won't look them all up. There's many here, but we need to get to prayer. Psalm 138, verse 2 tells us that God has magnified his word above all his name. Now, that's an interesting verse, and you can think about that a long time and maybe not fully understand it. But I know that it has something to do with God has bound himself to his word. God cannot be anything other than he has revealed himself to be in his word. And if he says he's holy, if his word says he's holy, then he has to be holy. And if his word says he's loving, then he has to be loved. And if God's word says something, God does it, because he is bound to his word, and we can safely stand upon it. God is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Matthew told us the other day from 2 Timothy 2:13, God cannot deny himself. We might not be faithful to him, but he can't deny himself. He always has to be true to himself. Commit yourself to a faithful creator. When you go through trials, commit yourself to your faithful creator to keep you. Keep you trusting. I just close with this story. I've told it before, I know. I've told a lot of stories before. But they're good stories. They speak to my heart. And Brother Edwin told how John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, he had lived a very wicked life. You know the story. He was a slave trader. He would go on the ships and gather slaves and bring them across the ocean. They were treated so cruelly. I was reading the book one time about the life of John Newton. And one of the slave traders, they were sitting around the table and he was laughing. He said, there was this little baby kept crying. And I told the mother, make that baby shut up. And she tried and she tried. And he just kept crying and crying. So I took the baby and I threw it overboard. And when John Newton heard that, it gripped him, the horror of the life that they're living on that slave ship. And God was dealing with them at that time. And it finally broke through into a wonderful, glorious salvation. He wrote that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was blind, but now I see. And he said that he had a vision one time, or a dream, and he was standing on the ship, and he had in his hand a beautiful pearl. And that pearl was his soul, washed, cleansed in the blood of Jesus. So valuable to God, so clean, so pure. And the devil appeared on the ship and said, what's that in your hand? He said, that's my soul. Jesus has washed me and made me clean. And he said, you think that you can stay that way? Are you kidding? So look at the way you've lived. Look at those habits. You're wasting your time. You might as well give up. Take that pearl and throw it overboard. Go on with your life, the little you have left. And he thought about it. He thought about himself. how unfaithful he is, and how many faults he has, and how untrustworthy he's been. And he thought, it's really true. I can't keep myself clean like this. So he took his soul, the pearl, and threw it into the ocean. As soon as he did, the devil began to laugh in his face. And he was struck with the horror of what he had done. What did I do? And then Jesus appeared on the boat. He said, you want me to get that for you? He said, yes, Lord. And Jesus dove into the water. And he was gone a long time. And he went down deeper and deeper. He seized that pearl. And he came up. He broke through out of the water. His face, there was anguish on his face. But the struggle that he had gone through, got back up on the ship. He opened up his hand. He said, here it is, John. John went to grab it. Jesus closed his hand. And he said, let me keep that for you. Let me keep that for you. He's faithful. We commit our souls to him who is a faithful creator, who is able to keep us. And so we need to do that. We need to hold fast the profession of our faith. Don't compromise. Aim for the highest. Believe God for all that he has for you. No matter how long it takes, no matter what other people do, no matter what your friends say, your teachers say, or anybody else, believe, stand on the word of God, and through faith and patience inherit the promises, you'll never be sorry. But the only way you can do that is to commit yourself to him and say, Lord, you keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won by thy power every hour. Keep me true. Let's sing that together. Paul, you'll help us, I know.
Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true.
And you're going to perfect it unto the day of your coming. Lord, you're faithful. Oh, Jesus, and we pray that you'll help us to rest upon your faithfulness. We pray that you'll help us to depend upon you, Jesus, to do what you promised in our lives. Don't let us give in to temptations and compromise, Lord, but we pray, Jesus, that you will give us a cry for your best and give us a faith in you that allows you to bring forth your best in all of our lives. We are partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence and joy firm, steadfast, unto the end. Lord, we know we'll never be sorry if we follow you all the way. Amen. And so, Lord, keep us true, we pray tonight. Give us a sight of your faithfulness. Or get our eyes off of ourselves, Lord. Don't let us waste our time looking at ourselves and our past and our failures and our shortcomings. Oh God, we won't get anywhere that way. But help us to get acquainted with how faithful and dependable our God is.
Amen.
We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God, we're dismissed. And there'd be those that would like to pray. It'd be good for all of us to spend some time in prayer. It doesn't have to be long. But you know, you'll find that when you get on your knees and you begin to seek God, God will come to you. And then the moments will fly by and you'll say, it was so good to give God a chance to put his seal upon that which that he spoke to me about in the meeting. And so I'd encourage all of us to get into that habit while we're here at camp. And we'll change the order of the service now. God be with you. God bless you.